Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a great time to study the Word of God. We are going through a series of Colossians. We have completed the theory part that is showing that who Christ is, what He has done for us. We have learned that Christ is supreme. Therefore, He is sufficient for everything. He is enough for us. But we know that the background of this letter, some of false teachers are teaching Christ is not enough. We need to follow angels. We need to follow traditions. We need to follow legalism. But Paul is telling very seriously that those things we don't want. For us, Christ is enough. That's what he explained, chapter 1 and 2. Now we are in chapter 3, and also we have finished verse 1 to 10. Last time, few weeks back, we saw that we need to fight against our old self. We have the old self, the sinful nature, we need to fight against. But today we are going to look at chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Here, we are going to look at, we need to put on, we need to clothe ourselves, we need to pursue Christ-likeness, we need to follow our Master, Jesus Christ. That's what he said from verse 12 onwards. Just we read before we study very deeply. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. Very key statement he stated. Verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Here Paul is motivating us. We need to kill our old self, the sinful natures. At the same time, we need to put on, we need to pursue Christ-likeness. Sometimes, many times, usually, generally, we remove our dirty clothes, right? After removing our dirty clothes, immediately we wear a new clothes, which has clean, right? Paul is saying same thing. You need to kill, you need to remove your old self. Immediately, urgently, you need to put on the clean cloth. That is Christ-likeness. That is following Christ, behaving like Christ. If we are reading those lists like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, all things, all virtues belongs to Christ. Christ has all these virtues, all these qualities. Paul himself proves that in verse 13. Look at verse 13. Please look at verse 13. It says, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, who has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So he is proving that we need to follow our Master, Jesus Christ. He has some qualities that we need to follow. We need to put on. He is explaining. But here we have two principles that we must follow to become Christ-like. First principle that we must follow to become Christ-like is meditate on your great identity as saints. Meditate on your great identity as saints. Look at verse 11 to 12. 11 to 12, it says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free man. But Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Then he says about verse 12. So as though who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. He is giving identity of Christians. He is giving identity of saints. You are chosen of God. You are holy. You are beloved. Christ is all in all. Here we have two great identity of saints that you must meditate on. The first great identity of saints that you must meditate on is you all are the new creation in Christ. You all is very important here. We have new self ourselves, but here it says you all are new, the new creation in Christ. Verse 11 it says, he is giving different people, right? Different categories of believers he is giving. Verse 11. All are new men and women in Christ. You are all new creation in Christ. This truth will motivate us, brothers and sisters, to show compassion, to show kindness, to kill sins which we have towards others. If you don't know everybody is equal in the church, you don't show Christ-likeness. You won't behave like Christ towards others. If you don't know everyone is equal in Christ. Paul is building the truth very clearly here. Paul is highlighting the fact that all kinds of people, all new creation in Christ. There is no reason to stop to show Christ qualities towards all believers. Or some people in the churches. Paul is encouraging saints, they must behave like Christ towards all members of believers in their local church, towards all believers, all men, even Gentiles. Here we have Greek and Jew. Can you see that? Greek and Jew, by saying these two names, two people, it shows that all believers from the world are the new creation in Christ. All believers from the world. He is covering full world. The Greek belongs to, Greek means, here he is saying that Gentiles. Jew means Israelites. We know that many times we think that Jews are better than Greeks. Israelites are better than Gentiles. But Paul is saying that there is no difference. There is no distinction between Greek and Jew because of Christ. We know tradition says that religious Jew thank God morning by morning because God did not make him a Gentile. He thanked God because God did not make him a slave. He thanked God because God did not make him a woman. So they feel like that. Jews people, a Jew feels like that. I am a great person. God has chosen me. God has chosen Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then God has chosen us. We are special people. They think like that. But Paul is saying that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, Gentiles. Then he mentions about the circumcised and uncircumcised. It shows that all believers from different past religious backgrounds are the new creation in Christ. Even though people has different past religious background, but when they became Christians, when they believe in Christ, they are same, they are equal. Then he mentions about barbarian and Scythian, which means all believers from different races, different cultural backgrounds, all believers from different languages are the new creation in Christ. There is no distinction. Why I'm saying, who is barbarian? Barbarian is non-Greek, who did not speak the Greek. We know that Colossians chapter 14, verse 11, Paul says, "If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks barbarian. And the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me." Barbarian speaks different language. He did not speak Greek language, so they have different kind of language, but Gentiles. There is no distinction between barbarians and Scythian. Who is Scythian? Who is Scythian? A Scythian is the lowest kind of barbarian, who was probably also a slave. The Scythian is a slave. He is also barbarian, but lowest kind of barbarian. The word refers to the tribe around to the Black Sea from where wretched slave class has come. They regarded as vilest of barbarians. And they are little better than wild beasts. Did you get that point? They are Scythian. But the great thing is God saved, Christ saved some of them. But everybody is coming into the church. There is a distinction. People are showing difference between Scythian and barbarians. But Paul is bringing the truth. Everyone is equal. Everyone is new creation in Christ. Even in our culture, right? We are Gentiles. We and Jews are same because of Christ. Even in our society, there are different languages we speak. Even if you think about this hall, how many languages that we speak? Telugu people here are Konkani, people who speak Konkani, Goans, then Tamil, then we have Marathi, we have different kind of languages, Malayalam, different kind of languages. But Paul is saying that everyone is equal. We should not respect those who speak Konkani more. You should not respect those who speak Telugu more. Everyone is equal. Christ is all. Christ is in all. That's what Paul is saying. When you understand everyone is equal in the church, then you can show Christ-likeness towards them. If you think someone is different, he is not belongs to me. He is something less than me. If you think that, you cannot love that person. You cannot show Christ's virtues towards that person. That's why Paul is saying that. But even though these people, Scythian, slaves, like wild beasts, but Christ saved them. Christ died for them, as well as for Greeks and barbarians. Then he mentions about slave and free man. He talks about all believers from different social status are new creation in Christ. Even though you have different social status, but all are equal in Christ. Amen. That's what Paul is saying. But usually in our churches, we respect a person who has high standard, high status in society, right? But we won't respect a person who has less status, like employer, right? Employee, like doing menial tasks. We won't respect them. But Paul is saying that, no, all are equal. All are equal. If you look at slave, a slave is the ancient world, was not a person, but a piece of property. They used as a piece of property. They were regarded as living tool. Sometimes those slaves were freed by their masters. They were no longer slaves. They are free men, free women, after many years slavery. They can work for themselves. But Christ renewed both of them. He made them new men and women. He died for both of them. You know Onesimus. Onesimus is a slave of Philemon, right? Paul says about that. Philemon chapter 1 verse 16, it says, "No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord." Did you see? He is more than a slave. He is a brother. Why Paul is saying? Because he is equal to Paul and Philemon, equal to every Christian, because of Christ. Because of Christ. Brothers and sisters, social status is irrelevant because of Christ. Do you feel proud of yourself because you have high status in the society? Something wrong with you. If you are treating somebody who is different than you, different, he speaks different language, he has separate a different status, if you are looking down on that person, something wrong with you. You did not understand what Christ has done in that person's life. Here we have two facts that prove all of us are the new creation in Christ. The first fact that proves all of us are the new creation in Christ is Christ is everything. Look at verse 11. Please look at verse 11. It says, Christ is all. Christ is all means Christ is absolutely everything. It also means Christ is all that matters. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter which language you speak. It doesn't matter which background you are from. It doesn't matter who that person is. If that person believed in Christ, if he is following Christ, if he is coming to the church, he is. Christ is all to that person. Christ is all that matters. We should not think about other things. Racism and color and languages, nothing matter. Christ is matter. People may respect you, brothers and sisters, because of your status, because of your language, because of your color. But Christ respects, loves equally everybody in his church. Amen. Christ does not look at other things. He looks at, does he believes in me? That's it. Christ is everything. Because of Christ, they all have new self. Because of Christ, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. There is no distinction between barbarian and Scythian. There is no distinction between slave and free man. All are equal in Christ. Because of Christ, every one of us should put on Christ-like character for the sake of all the members of the church. That's what Paul is motivating us. Without seeing racism, culture, background, and status. They have a relationship with Christ who created them, who saved them. So that is the truth he is telling. The second fact that proves all of us are new creation in Christ is Christ dwells in all. Everyone should stop thinking, I am a great person in the church, right? Christ dwells in all. That's what he said. Verse 11, it says, which means he indwells all members of new man, regardless of race and class and background. Christ lives in those who believe. We know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but this truth is saying, this verse is saying, Christ indwells in us. He lives in us. That's why Paul said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, chapter 1, verse 27 says, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles. There is a mystery. What is that mystery? He explains, which is Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Christ is in Jew. Christ is in barbarian. Christ is in slave. Christ is in free man. Christ is in educated person. Christ is in rich person, Christ is in poor person, he is in every person who believes in him. That is the truth. That is why we need to respond in proper way. That is why we need to show compassion, to show kindness, to forgive because of this truth. The church is filled with those who are from different cultural backgrounds, social statuses, different languages. If you know that Christ is all matter, if you know that Christ is in all of them, your behavior will change. That is why he put verse 11 first, before he talks about show some kindness, all virtues. I go to Green Spicy Hotel. So recently I took my two babies, I went with my family. After having lunch, we came to pay a bill. She likes us. She say hi, everything. We say hi, how are you? Then she asked, who is this baby? She says, yeah, our younger daughter, I told. Yeah, where did she born? I told, here only. She's Goan baby, I said. She's Goan baby, but we are outsiders, I said. Then she said one thing. Then I felt little bad in my heart. What she said, you know, he said, even though you are from Andhra, we are Indians. We are one. Why you are saying you have a Goan baby, you three of us are Andhra people? Then I said, I met some Goan people, they feel proud of Goans. But you are not like that. So I am very happy you said we all are one because we are Indians. One unbelieving lady, she knows that we all are equal because we are Indians, right? But in churches, we think we are different. Even though we know that Christ is in everybody, but we think I am special, this person is, I need to go back. I don't have that much relationship with that person. I don't have that much relationship. I won't love that person. I don't show compassion to that person because he has something different than me. But Paul is saying that we all are equal, brothers and sisters. Don't think you are something different. Even though they have different backgrounds, even though they have different status, but you all are equal. You all are equal. That's why Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is no neither Jew or Greek. There is no neither slave or free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So that is the first great identity. We all are the new creation in Christ. The second great identity of saints that we must meditate on is, you are the chosen ones of God. You are chosen ones of God. Look at verse 12. It says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Believers are holy, beloved, and elected ones of God. This verse actually shows that we have three great identities, right? But I made it as only one great identity because believers are holy, beloved, after he has chosen us. First he has chosen us, because he has chosen us, then we became holy, then we became beloved. First of all, we look at what does it mean? The chosen ones. You have been chosen of God, he says, right? What does it mean to be chosen by God? The answer is to be selected by God, picked out by God. Let me tell you a clear example. You shop, right, clothing. You need to shop clothes. You go to showroom and you see different kinds of clothes. Then how many do you select? You won't select everything, right? Which you like, you select. Just you pick up and go and pay the bill and take. The same idea Paul is using here. God the Father has picked up, selected you out of many people. This word is used for those whom God has chosen from mankind, drawn to himself. God, he himself has selected you, picked you from your nation, from your tribe, from your status, from your background, everything. He has selected you. He has chosen you. I want to explain the beauty of our election. The beauty of our election is so amazing. If you look at, you are picked out before the foundation of the world. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God has chosen you for salvation before he created yourself. Before he created you. He had created you. He had chosen you before he had created anything else. He has seen you. He knows you. He had a personal relationship with you before he creates you. That is the idea. He knows you. That is why he deserves all glory. in your salvation. That is why he deserves all glory. That is the reason we deserve 0% glory for ourselves. Because we did not choose God. We did not run after God. When people are sharing testimonies, what they say? Oh, I was going to church. I was seeking God. I am searching for God. No, you did not search God. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. So you are searching. Amen. So you are searching. Everyone here who came here, you did not choose God. You are running away from God. Suddenly you came back. You are running after God. You are coming to church. You are reading Bible. You are praying to God because God the Father has chosen you before the foundation of the world. That is the beauty of election. That is the beauty of election. That is the reason we won't lose our salvation. You don't need to fear about your salvation. Because he has chosen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You are a part of few. What a great truth here, right? You are the rare product because of God. You are the rare product because of God. Because of him. Because he has chosen. But here we have two results of God's election. The first result of God's election is you became holy ones of God. Why I am saying it is the result of God's election. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you." You became holy people to God because the Lord your God has chosen you. The holy means set apart for God. Exclusively his. You belong to him. Holy means the quality possessed by the things and persons that could approach a divinity. The holy means you can approach God. You can stay in the presence of God. That is the result. Because he has chosen you, he made you holy. You can stay in the presence of God. Can anyone stand in the presence of God? No one will stand. But you have great privilege. You can stand in the presence of God. You can serve the God because he has chosen you. He made you holy people. That is the thing we can see here. But we know that no one will approach. No one is set apart for God without Christ's death on the cross. He is the mediator. He is the way to God for all of us. We can stand in God's presence without any fear. We can stand, we can approach because of Christ's death. Amen. Christ's death. That's why it says Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, "Just as he chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, holy." There is a connection between election and holy. The second result of God's election is you became beloved ones of God. You became beloved ones of God. It says, right? Holy and beloved. Again, it is connected to election. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." Did you see? He's connecting election and holy and beloved is connected together. Because God has chosen, he made us holy. Because God has chosen, he is loving us. But we know that the meaning of that word, beloved, means to have a warm regard for another, interest in another. It means cherish, which means having affection, having love. God cherishes all his chosen ones. God has very close relationship, love whom he has chosen. What a great truth. In the world, people love People love first, then they choose, right? Okay, let me tell you again. You go to shop, right? You pick one dress, one shirt, one pant. Why did you pick that? Because you like it. The way that stretched, the way that design is. You liked it. The quality of the dress, you liked it, so you have chosen. So we people like that. We see the quality of person, then we love that person. We have friendship with that person. But look at God. Look at God. It is opposite. It is opposite. God has chosen first, without seeing any quality, then he loved us. Then he made us holy. That is difference between the sinful man and God, who is holy, who is loving. He knows that. But some people say that God knows. He is omniscient, right? He knows I can do some good works, so he has chosen me. Anyone here who can say that, I am such a righteous person, I am such a good person, so God has chosen me before the foundation of the world, because he is omniscient, he knows. Did you say like that? Do you say like that? God knows you are a wretched sinner. God knows you are a sinner. You deserve for hell. God knows that. God knows how much sinful you are. Even though he knows, as an omniscient, before the foundation of the world, he has chosen you. Not seeing your good qualities, not seeing your virtues, just he has chosen. How you selected your dress? Did dress does anything so that it can be chosen by you? Nothing. Just you have chosen. In the same way, God has chosen us without seeing any qualities, any good in us. So what is your response? Love him. Cherish for him. Have an interest only in him, brothers and sisters. Because first he loved you. So he deserves your love. He deserves your love. Your love for God appears in your obedience to his commandments. So that leads for our second principle that we must follow to put on Christ-likeness is imitate Christ's attitude as saints. First you meditate who you are. If you understand who you are, then imitate Christ's attitude as a saint. Look at verse 12 to 13. It says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. He says up to verse 13. But look at the verb, put on. Put on is a command. The stress is on the urgency of action. It has to be continued. Urgently you need to put on. Colossians, O saints, you need to put on urgently, immediately, these clothes. That is Christ's attitude, Christ's likeness. That's what he's saying. He's commanding Colossians. Don't say, I will put on tomorrow. Don't say, I will put on day after tomorrow. Don't say like that. Immediately, urgently, you need to put on. It is an idea like that. If you are going on the road, one bike is coming very fast. Your child is on the road. Will you take that child after 1 minute? Just you wait there and see whether the bike dashes or not. Will you wait for that? If you see there is a danger, immediately you go there and draw your child, right? Pull your child from danger. That kind of urgency Paul is saying here. You need to put on. Here we have four kinds of attitude that we must imitate to be Christ-like. First kind of attitude that we must imitate to be Christ-like is our attitude toward the weak saints. Look at verse 12. It is very interesting how the Bible is practical. Verse 12, part B. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness. You need to show compassion, kindness towards weak saints, right? Look at first attitude that we must show towards the weak saints is have compassion. The meaning of the word compassion is to display concern over another's disaster or calamity. Someone is going through pain, someone facing calamity, someone going through suffering, you need to display your concern from your heart. Paul doesn't say only compassion, but he said that a heart of compassion. The idea is you must put on a heart which has quality of compassion. Your heart must be filled with compassion, concern for distressed people, concern for weak people, concern for needy people. That is the idea. Even Jesus has a heart of compassion. He showed his compassion toward 10 lepers, right? He showed his compassion towards blind men. He showed compassion for many people, right? Sick people. That's why I said it is a quality of Christ. But sometimes we have a heart of criticism, right? Someone is going through a difficult situation. Instead of helping, we criticize, right? Why you have done that? That's why you are facing this problem. Why you have done that? That's why you are going through this way. Sometimes we won't say like that. If somebody is hating somebody else, something happened to that person, he deserves that. He deserves that discipline. God is disciplining that person. He deserves that. Yes, maybe he is doing sin. Because of that, God is disciplining that person. That is true. But you should not say like that. If you are saying like that, do you have a heart of compassion? Display your concern. Display your concern. Have compassion towards weak saints. The next attitude that we must show to weak saints is have kindness. The meaning of the word kindness is the quality of being helpful or beneficial. The kindness means goodness, generosity. The first one, see, a heart of compassion is emotion. But kindness is action that comes from out of compassion. Did you get point? If you have compassion, out of that, kindness will come. Kindness will come. So, heart of compassion is emotion. That is inside. You can't do actions. Just you pity. You show your compassion on that person. But kindness is action. Kindness is action toward weak saints. Paul does not give any option here also. It is a command. If you like to do it, you do it. Otherwise, don't show kindness. He did not say like that. You need to put on kindness. You need to show kindness. Those who are weak in church. Those who are weak in church. Don't say that this is not for me. This is only for rich people. Those who have so many money in purse, in bank. Don't say like that. You have some money with you. You have some sources with you. Within, you need to show your kindness. If you got, if you see someone is need. That's what Paul is saying. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says, if you read that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It is not a quality of rich person in church. It is a quality of a believer. Amen. Believer. It is a quality of the spirit-filled person. Do you have spirit in you? If you say you have spirit in you, you will show kindness automatically. You don't need to work hard for that. It is a fruit. Fruit of the dwelling of Holy Spirit in you. That's what Paul is encouraging us. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, when was the last time that you showed kindness towards the weak saint? Months? Weeks? Years? Are you helpful? Are you generous? Are you good to people in their need? Don't help those who are rich, those who has everything. Help those who are need. That's what Paul is encouraging us. Show kindness to those who can't give back. See, sometimes, you know, we church members, we always do things to those who can give back to us again. We need to show kindness to those who can't give back. Prepare food for them when they are sick. Help them to have enough clothing and food. Not only believers, even towards unbelievers. You can help them. They don't have. And help them to find good job, better job, so that he can help. He can provide for his family. Something like that. I am not saying specific things. You think how you can show your kindness. Let me tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. Worship not only with your heart and lips. Worship God with your purse and bank account. So that is Paul is saying. Use those sources towards the weak saint. The second kind of attitude that we must imitate to be Christ-like is the attitude that we must have, that is humility. The second kind of attitude, that is be humble. It is towards us. We need to be humble. That's what Paul says. Verse 12, humility, put on humility. Be humble. The idea is having a humble opinion of oneself. Deep sense of one's moral littleness. Lowliness of mind. It is simply, I can say that, see, I am nothing. Others are better than me. Others are more important than me. I am little. I am nothing. If you have that kind of attitude, if you have that kind of thinking, you are a humble person. That is the idea. Have that attitude. I want to give you the marks of a genuine humility. Sometimes, no, sitting on the floor and doing some things, we feel that that person is a humble person. But we have marks of a genuine humility. The first mark is you regard others as more important than yourself with humility of mind. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do you have that concept in your mind? I should think, if I am a humble person, you are more important than me. My wife is more important than me. My children are more important than me. Brothers and sisters in the church are more important than me. How we can show that? Someone is coming, that person is hungry. You come back, you go. Brother, you go and take. That shows that person is more important. Many ways. You need to think yourself, you are nothing. The second mark is you humble yourself toward all members, not some members. Sometimes, no, if Pastor Sammy comes, then more humility will come. Then we regard him as, yeah, he's pastor, right? I am not saying be humble before him also. You got my point? If Pastor Sammy comes, yeah, he knows Bible, he knows Greek and Hebrew. If you ask anything, he can answer anytime. You respect him. You be humble before him. But someone in the church who comes, but you don't show that, your humility before that person. So that is hypocrisy, right? Did you get my point? Here, the true mark of, the genuine mark of humility is you humble yourself toward all members. Why I'm saying that? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Toward one another. You need to show your humility before everyone else. That means each and every person in the church are more important than me. I am nothing in front of them. You should have that attitude. I went to Andhra Pradesh. I visit one church where my family go. I went there. One person is sitting beside me. I was also sitting. There was no chairs. There are some chairs back. Old people are sitting. Then I asked my brother, who is that brother? He said, he is SI of that town, sub-inspector. Then I asked, why is he sitting down? He sits down only because not enough chairs are there. But no, if you see him, no, he is such a height person, and if he walks with uniform, no, people will shiver with him. But when he comes to the church, he sat down because of lack of chairs. So that is called humility. Thinking himself, I am nothing in front of those old ladies, old men, those who are not educated also. So Paul is saying, church needs those kind of humble men and women who thinks themselves nothing, others are more important. The third mark is you serve the Lord with humility. The humble people will serve. Humble people will serve. Acts chapter 20 verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility. If you are not serving in the church, it is a mark of your pride. That is the thing. Those who serve in the church, they are humble people. Those who are being served, they are prideful people. Acts chapter 20, 19. Even Jesus washing disciples' feet. Why he is washing such a wretched sinners? He is holy of holies, but he is washing their feet. Why he washed? Because he is humble. He thought, they are better than me as a man. As a man. They are better than me. They are more important than me. That's why, no, he washed their feet. He became a slave. He humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8. He humbled himself. He obeyed God the Father. Even death on the cross. Because he thought, these sinners whom I am going to save, they are more important than me. More important than my glory. He has glory. No one see him. Even angels cannot see his face. That much glory he has. But he covered his glory. He became man. He did not show up his glory to save you and me. That's why I put, we need to imitate Christ's attitude. The third kind of attitude that we must imitate to be Christ-like is our attitude toward the sinning saints. Our attitude toward sinning saints. It says, right, gentleness. The meaning of gentleness is politeness, meekness. It is the opposite of rudeness, roughness. It is opposite of hardness, violence, getting angry, aggression. Someone is sinning, then you go and immediately you get angry. You won't speak with that person politely. Why I'm saying this is my attitude toward the sinning saints? Because Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any transgress, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Someone caught in sin. You know that person sin. You should restore that person with spirit of gentleness. Without aggression. Without angry. Gently. Gently. Politely. Why you are doing that sin? Don't do, brother. Don't do, sister. We need to act like that. We need to speak like that. That is the way we need to respond towards the sinning saints. If you are going there, why you are doing sin? What sin you are? What kind of person you are? You are fool. You are not listening. It's like scolding people. If you are scolding, you are not gentle. But Bible says that we need to rebuke. But you need to rebuke in gentleness. It's not like serious scolding. Like people should not be afraid of you because you are correcting that person. You need to show your gentleness. Even this one also, one of the marks of the spirit-filled person. Galatians chapter 5 verse 23. Are you speaking politely or gently with sinning brother or sister? You need to think about brothers and sisters. What about Jesus? I can speak about Jesus many things. Example, even Jesus, he spoke with a woman of Samaria with very gently. Very gently. He spoke with a woman of adulterers with very gently. He spoke with many sinners with very gently. But he showed their sin, but he spoke with very gently. We need to possess, we need to pursue that kind of quality from our Lord and Master. The fourth kind of attitude that we must imitate to be Christ-like. Our attitude toward the troubling saints. Troubling saints. The first attitude toward these troubling saints is, have patience. Someone is hurting you. Someone is troubling you in this church. You must have patience. You must have patience. The patience means forbearance, long suffering. slowness in avenging wrongs. Someone did something wrong against you. Don't get angry immediately. You need to be slow. Wait. You must have patience. Some of us don't have patience. Suddenly we react. Suddenly we say. Suddenly we scold. Suddenly we abuse. But he is saying, have patience. It is one of the marks of spirit-filled person. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Even preachers should have this quality. He says 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters. Why did preachers should have patience? Why God is telling you, preacher, you must have great patience. He did not mention patience. Great patience you should have. Why did he say that? After preaching sermon, don't abuse. Immediately someone is abusing. What will happen? I preached. Today only I preached. But you are abusing, you are scolding. Then I should not go and scold that sister, that brother. How dare I preach sermon, again you are doing same sin. Even preacher should have patience. People change slowly by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit. We must have great patience. So if preacher should have patience, as a congregation, as a believers, we must have patience. Don't get angry soon. Remember Christ, brothers and sisters, who had great patience toward you even today. If he did not have patience, every one of us died. Every one of us died. Then another attitude that we must show toward troubling saints is have endurance. Not only patience, endurance. Look at verse 13. It says, bearing with one another. Bearing means to regard with tolerance, to endure. Paul says that you believers, you should endure with one another. You need to bear with one another. Paul is commanding. You should endure. I know that some people are troubling you. I know that some people are hurting you. But you need to bear them. That's what he is saying. Sometimes when I was in village, in my childhood, we used to go to ocean. To go to ocean, we need to cross canal. While we are crossing canal, I was little height, right? My brother or my neighbor brother, small kids, they want to cross canal. To cross that canal, I need to take that boy, keep that boy on my shoulder. After keeping that boy on my shoulder, I need to cross canal one side to another side. When I go to middle, deep part of that canal, water will be this much. So he is on my shoulder. He thinks water. He thinks I am going to down. So I am going to die. He thinks. He doesn't know. That person is capable. But he afraid of that situation. What usually they do, they hold hair like this. Sitting on shoulder, they hold hair. So because of fear, no, they pull like this. No, don't move. I say, no, I'm going to die. I'm going to fall down into the water. Then he moves here and there. But what we do, no? We won't leave. So much paining, brothers and sisters. So much paining. But no, I don't want to lose that person into the deep. So I cross. I walk through. After reaching that side, then I will keep that person down. That is called endurance. Even though I am getting pain, I need to bear that person for his safety. Even though it is paining, he is moving here and there, I am bearing that because he is my friend, he is my brother. The same way, people may pull your hair, people may kick your back, people may do many kind of things. People may gossip about you. People may say bad things about you. But you are being hurted. You are going through pain. They are pulling your hair. But don't give up. You need to bear. You must have that endurance. That is the thing Paul is saying. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. But what we try to do, we bear little sometime, then afterward, I don't want that person. I don't want that brother. You don't want to bear. Because you are not loving that person. That's why you are not bearing. The another attitude that we must have toward troubling saints is have a heart of forgiveness. Look at verse 13. Forgiving each other. It refers to granting forgiveness, pardon, showing oneself gracious by forgiving wrongdoing. You are being gracious towards others by forgiving them. When? He says, in times of complaints. Do you have any complaint against anyone in this church? You need to forgive that person. Any complaint. I am not here to tell all kind of situation and things. You have any complaint against pastor? Do you have any complaint against deacons? Do you have any complaint against lay believers in the church? Forgive them. Forgive them. How? As the Lord forgave you. Look at verse 13. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Your Lord has many complaints about you, brothers and sisters. Many complaints he has. He has written in his record many complaints. Thousands of records, thousands of mistakes, thousands of sins, lakhs of sins. But he forgave you in the same way, in the same way. Even though it is painful, even though you don't want to forgive, but forgive. Because Lord has forgiven your sin. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Amen. Gladys Staines, the wife of Graham Staines. Graham Staines working in Orissa, that side. Even Brother Subhash knows. So they were serving there as a missionaries. Bajrang Dal group. They killed Graham Stein and his two sons, Philip and Timothy. One is first class, another one is fourth, fifth class. They burned while they were sleeping in that van. So after their death, wife of Graham Stein, she said like this, "The Lord, God is always with me to guide me, to help me to try to accomplish the work of Graham. But I sometimes wonder why Graham was killed. What also made his murders behave in such a brutal manner on the night of 22nd January 1919. She says, "It is far from my mind to punish those persons who are responsible for the death of my husband and my two children. But it is my desire and hope that they would repent and be reformed." Do you have these kind of people in your church? No one is here hurt like Graham Gladstains. But sometimes we think we are the most hurt people. We don't want to forgive fellow brothers and sisters. Two children, husband were died. She is willing to forgive. Because she knows that his Lord forgave her sins. She wants to forgive. But no one hurted you like that. You are not going through that kind of situation in this church. You are going through small things, little complaints. But you don't want to forgive. The Holy Spirit, he wants to encourage you. He is helping us. Look at Christ, how he forgave you. Look at godly men and women who forgave their enemies. Two principles to put on Christ-likeness. The first principle is meditate on your great identities. Second principle, imitate Christ's attitude as saints. But while I am reading, while I am studying, First, he stated that sinful nature, right, was 5 onwards, 2 lists. Afterward, he gave another list, which is we need to put on, pursue. But if you read, no, then you can understand very easily. If you have compassion for others, brothers and sisters, please listen carefully. If you have compassion for others, you will not commit sexual sins. Because you have compassion for that lady, that brother, you don't want to do sexual immorality. If you have kindness, which is generosity, you will not run after money, which is idolatry. Did you see how the Holy Spirit is replacing? If you have humility and gentleness and patience, you will not get angry. You will not be wrathful. If you bear and forgive those who hurt you, you will not be malice. Slander. You won't slander. You won't use abusive speech. You won't lie against anyone else. If you have forgiveness and patience. The idea is here. You have to replace things that fight against your old self. Just Holy Spirit put like that. If you have compassion, you can overcome those sins. If you have patience, you won't get angry. Just is replacing. It's like taking antibiotics. When my Phoebe went through blood transfusion, blood has to change. After that, she got infection. Then doctor told she has to take antibiotics. She was a small child, 2-3 days, 4 days child. Then one of our church members, they call Vijay, they want to give antibiotic. How they can give antibiotic to baby? Then I was also afraid. We should not give antibiotics to baby. Then I went there. I talked with doctor. Doctor, why you are giving antibiotics? Because very small baby, I told. Then I called another doctor, Dr. Pradeep. I told him, see, they want to give antibiotics to my daughter. Small baby, why they are giving, I asked. I don't know, actually. Then he told, Vijay, situation is very serious. The virus is very serious. To kill those viruses, we need to give antibiotics. It is small cases, we don't need to give antibiotics. It is big case. It is dangerous. The virus is dangerous. To kill those viruses, we need to give antibiotics. There is no other option. They have given that antibiotics fought with those viruses. She is well. She is with us. Why I'm telling these stories? Paul is telling, take antibiotics. That is Christ-likeness. If you have Christ-likeness, it can fight against your old sinful nature. Amen. Sinful nature. Because those sins are very dangerous. More dangerous than virus. Sins are more dangerous than virus. It can kill your body only. But sins kill your souls as well. To destroy, to fight against those viruses, sinful nature, you need to take antibiotic. That is put on Christ-likeness. Put on Christ-likeness. Replace. Automatically it will fight. That nature will fight against old nature. God may help us to pursue Christ-likeness. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. What a great God you are. You saved us from our sins and helping us to know Christ, to grow in Christ, helping us to pursue holiness, to pursue Christ-likeness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who is guiding us, helping us to see the truth. Lord, I pray for all of our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us, Lord, to put on the behavior of Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow Christ so that we can overcome, so that we can fight against our old sinful nature. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.